Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis again, chapter 3. So follow along either in your Bible or on the screen. Then the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat it, you will surely die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say we must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. We must not touch it, or we will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized that they were naked. Naked. Okay. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" The man said, "I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you? Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman that you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, The serpent, he deceived me and I ate." And to the woman God said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and you ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it. All the days of your life it will produce thorns and thistles for you. And you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." The Lord God then pieced together the skin of animals, and he made clothes for Adam and Eve to wear. And the Lord God said, "Now the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. And after he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and the flaming sword which flashed back and forth to guard the way of the tree of life. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. This morning, while I was preparing this sermon, well, this week while I was preparing this sermon, this week, Emily has been gone this week. My whole week is off kilter. So she just got back on Friday and things are starting to be normal again. But this week, as I prepared this sermon, I remembered that my mother had recently taken up a new hobby. And when my mother takes up a new hobby, she goes at it with everything that she's got. New equipment, new classes, hours of YouTube, and hours of Google. Everything that she can possibly do to learn this new hobby. Now, she had always sewn a little bit while we were growing up. And she would hem pants, fix buttons, repair tears, normal stuff like that. But now my mother has a new hobby of sewing clothes. She had five children. She now has five grandchildren. And she has committed to sewing them clothes almost every week. I guess when all of her kids left, she had to have a hobby to fill up that time. And so she sews clothes for her grandchildren. In fact, at each of the baby showers for each of the grandchildren, my mother insists on making at least one quilt, one outfit, dresses, crib sheets, blankets, bonnets, tons of bibs, etc. Anything and everything that a baby may need. It can be a bit overwhelming if you just look at it. And sewing that much takes so much time. So that the daughters-in-law actually have to go early in the second trimester, they go fabric shopping. And it's apparently a rite of passage to go fabric shopping with my mother to pick out which fabric you want for the crib, outfits, all of that. And she wants to make sure she has enough time to finish the clothes. You see, sewing and the hobby of sewing has become for her an act of love. Sure, she could just buy the clothes, but she insists on spending that time, that patience, that care of hand-making clothes for each of her grandchildren. So if you notice Joanna in a cute outfit, it may be from my mother. If it has the middle name Cynthia, which we named Joanna Cynthia Drake after my mother, you know it's from my mother because she's the one that puts the middle name on there. And especially if you see it monogrammed, that is from my mother as well. So as we turn our attention to the Word of God, remember that we're on a journey through the Scriptures together. Each week we will look at the next phase of God working in human life and history. And the hope and the prayer is that over the course of the next year or so, that we'll see and learn much about ourselves and God's love as we walk this biblical journey together as a church. And as a reminder, now this week we're having the kitchen table kickoff, celebration, hot dogs, hamburgers, food, bounce houses, and all that. So please come to that. It'll be a great time of fun. I won't be teaching a lesson, but the next week we'll get back to our regular lessons and meeting, and it'll be kind of an after the sermon series. So bring your questions from Sunday to Wednesday night, and we'll discuss and learn a bit together. And if you weren't here last week when we started the series, we discussed creation. How God simply spoke the world into being. And today, as we just heard, we're confronted with a familiar yet damning account of our ancestors. In fact, today's story will ultimately set the stage for the need of God's redemption, culminating in the life of Jesus Christ. If not for the fall, as we read about in Genesis 3, there would be no need for Jesus Christ that we find in the gospel. When we discuss Jesus saving us, Jesus came to save us. What we're talking about is he's saving us from the sin and destruction that started all the way back in the Garden of Eden. You see, Adam and Eve, the first people, lived in paradise. Lived in an Edenic paradise. They walked daily with God in the garden. They had meaningful and productive work. They lived in harmony with everything around them. No pain, no terror, no worries. They simply lived and loved and enjoyed life as it should be. But they had one rule. They had one rule, not to eat from the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You see, God gave them everything, but warned them not to eat from one tree. So you know what they did? They do what every toddler, every child, every person does when they're told not to do one thing. They go out and almost instantly do it. Even if we don't know our Bible too well, we know common sense and we know human nature enough to know that when tempted and told not to do something, there's this irrepressible urge to do that. And the crafty snake serpent shows up. And he dares and he questions about God to Eve, whether God actually told Eve not to eat from this tree. You won't die. He's making that up. You won't suffer. The fruit looks great. God is just keeping you away from the best fruit imaginable. God is just afraid that you'll know too much. God just wants you to be pacified a bit with some subpar fruit, but not partake of the best fruit in the garden. And that snake, that silly snake, convinces her, convinces Eve to question God and question God's plan for her life. Which is kind of the reason I hate all snakes nowadays, but that's another story. And Eve questions and she thinks and she sees that fruit looks good. She sees that God wants her to have good fruit and she convinces herself to take a bite. She sinned the first time. And Eve and all women have gotten a bad rap for this ever since. But if we look at the scriptures, at least it took some convincing for Eve to take a bite. Whereas Adam simply took a bite when offered the fruit. Eve shouldn't get a bad rap, after all, in my opinion. So in the eating of said fruit, our ancestors, they chose to seek knowledge instead of trust. They went from a life of trusting and depending on God to turning inwards, being concerned with themselves and their feelings. We became, as a human race, self-absorbed, concerned about ourselves and our longings above all else. Adam and Eve surely got some knowledge, but much of that knowledge turned themselves and turned us into self-important people who struggle to trust in God's provisions. Adam and Eve turned inwards, and if you notice in the scriptures, it's I felt, I was afraid, I, the original me generation we see. Our ancestors went from trusting in God to questioning God and God's love for us. And as I quoted before, the end of man is knowledge. But there is one thing he cannot know. He cannot know whether knowledge will save him or kill him. And in this story in Genesis, eating from the tree of life did bring that knowledge, but it did not save Adam and Eve. It committed them to death. And it would ultimately take an act of God to save humanity from the mess of the garden. So after eating the fruit, Adam and Eve knew they were naked. Adam answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. God said, Who told you that? Who told you that? Have you eaten from that tree? Adam and Eve, in knowing and realizing that they are naked and trying their best to sew fig leaves together, experience the shame and pain of not being holy and blameless in front of a holy and blameless God. They feel the shame that all of us feel sometimes in life. Shame that makes them hate their bodies. Shame that tears their world apart. Shame that makes them hide from God. Shame that makes them long for clothing to cover them up so that God can't see everything as they truly are. In fact, this is another story. In fact, the earliest set of clothes my mother ever sewed for any of her children that I'm aware of, my twin sister and I went to a Halloween get-together at our church. And, well, not Halloween, fall festival. There's a difference. And it was one of those churches, so we had to dress up as biblical characters. We were Adam and Eve. My mother put us in khaki shorts and a khaki shirt and pinned these big elephant ear, y'all know what I'm talking about, the bushes, to us. We ended up winning the whole pack of Play-Doh. I'm proud to acknowledge that. I don't know where that Play-Doh is today. Who knows? But shame had Adam and Eve trying to hide behind leaves in the garden. And because of disobedience, we humans lost the provisions of life in the garden. We lost, as a race, the gift of walking with God and talking with God in the garden. We lost the gift of being productive and healthy at work. And instead, now Adam is cursed with toiling and toiling the ground for mere sustenance. That is, until he passes away and returns to the dust of the ground. We lost the ability for easy childbearing. To Eve, God says, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." You see, sin has caused division between man and woman. Strife and power control issues among the couple. Stress and pain and frustration in the first family. And I would even dare to say that some of that stress and pain of family relationships are experienced in today's world as well. The effects of the fall. But because of God's grace, and by grace, our ancestors were allowed to live. Scripture tells us that if you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. But they didn't die immediately. God was gracious. He allowed them to live. He spared their lives when they deserved far less. And through years and years and millennia, our human ancestors made the world into what we see today. And let's be honest, if Adam and Eve hadn't messed everything up, I have a feeling that me or some of other people would surely mess it up along the way. Human nature has become so inwardly focused that we often lose sight of God. We care about ourselves so much that we lose sight and lose track of God and God's people around us. We become so preoccupied with our own lives that sin and shame follow us around until our final day. And because of this sin, because of this fall from grace, because of this shame, Adam and Eve were banished from the Garden of Eden. You see, in the garden they had everything that they needed, but instead chose to seek a different path. And they must leave the garden. They must leave perfection. They must leave the only home they had ever known. They wanted the knowledge of good and evil, and they got to use that knowledge out in a brave new world. But God, being God, loved and cared for Adam and Eve so much because he had breathed his own life into them. He had shaped Adam from the dust of the world. He had formed Eve by a rib of Adam's. And despite this sin, despite the turmoil, despite the utter despair of having your own creation choose sin over love, and despite the fact that God had given them everything that they could possibly need, they still, and we still, willingly, willfully choose to abandon God sometimes. A reality that we feel and see in our own lives, and we see in the lives of Adam and Eve. But despite all this grief and despite all this pain, God made them clothes. Did we notice that? Y'all thought I was just talking about my mother for no reason. God made them clothes. You see, Adam and Eve tried to make their own clothes with fig leaves. Terrible, breakable, easily destroyed. But God instead pieced together skins of animals and made clothes for Adam and Eve to wear. Because they felt the shame of nakedness, God made them clothes. Because they wanted to live their own life on their own terms, God made them clothes for the journey. Always imagine God working late into the night, sewing an outfit for Adam and Eve to wear the next day. He could have just spoken clothes into being. He could have told them, "No, I'm not going to help you." But instead, God takes the time to carefully and considerately sew an outfit that Adam and Eve will need once they're banished. God has made clothes for his sinful children by hand. So that even when we see our God as disappointed in us and wrathful with us, we have to remember that in that and in this, God is gracious to us. God allowed our ancestors to exchange the clothing of innocence for the clothes made out of animals. And Adam and Eve were sent out of the garden, banished, sent away to start over. And God even had the gate to the garden covered with a flaming sword. Adam and Eve were simply adrift in life after this. Adrift in life, not knowing where to go. I have a feeling that some of us here and in life have felt that pull of adriftness. And that, my friends, is where our story ends today. With Adam and Eve being forced to flee Eden from custom clothes, in custom clothes. And in due course, God will enable us humans to wear more than just custom clothes. You see, down the road after this time, Jesus will enable us to be clothed in righteousness, faith, and God's love. You see, God wasn't content to just make Adam and Eve a set of clothes. Instead, God took on the flesh of humanity and redeemed all creation through the cross. And that is where the story, this biblical trek that we're on, will ultimately lead to. The God that created and spoke the world into being, saving the world through the cross. But today we see that our God that we worship is much like a seamstress or a seamster who makes and cares and loves. Our God is a God who sows for his beloved children. Amen and amen. At this point in our service, we come to a time of commitment. If anyone here has questions about what it means to be a part of this story, this grand narrative of life, has questions about what it means that human sin and God still loves us and wants relationship with us, I invite you forward. If anyone here wants to find out more about this God, this Jesus, or even this church, if anyone wants to come, join this church as we try to live through and live out God's plan for our lives in this building and this people, I invite you forward. The altar is